so good, you don't think I would pretend. Trouble's coming, but I still don't know when. That's the voice that I can hear in my head.
Trouble's coming, Royal Blood, episode 17, Slinging the Biscuit, presented by the folks at Manscaped.com, brought to you by also Pat Shea. He's drinking his water, he's ready and hydrated for a new episode this week.
That's right, yes, yes. Trouble is coming. That reminds me of the TikTok, the Barstool dude did you see that Josh Richards and Bryce Hall did that cringy TikTok, and they're like, when the boys are single for the summer, and they like dap it up, and the Barstool guy like stitched it and was like, what, the boys are singy for the summer, like trouble is coming. It went viral. It was hilarious. So trouble is coming. No, great song.
I try to stay away from those TikToks. But Royal Blood, by the way, if I tell you, you're never gonna believe this, the intro song for today, if you're listening to the Apple or Spotify version, if you're on YouTube you won't hear it because copyright, that's two guys singing is playing bass, and the bass player singer as well, he has so many distortion pedals set up on his pedal effects board, he makes it sound like a guitar, and they have a drummer. It's a two-man band. It's a two-piece. Bass player, lead singer, and a drummer. You never would have believed it, eh? It sounds so powerful. Oh, no, it sounds like...
That's why you said listen to it before, eh?
It's amazing the power they have in that band. The Blue Stones, too, another great two-piece band right now. UK... Royal Blood's in the UK. But
we love to see that.
We love it. We love to see two-piece bands. You know, we also love to see. We love to see hard work. We got a little bit of housekeeping. Not that we're working housekeeping or landscaping this week, but we got a couple shout-outs. Want to shout out Jeffrey Reed. This guy's work ethic is incredible. He said he's sweeping floors for a living just to put a couple bucks aside to train for the summer. Said he listens to the podcast while he's doing it. So Jeff, shout out to you, buddy. We're thinking of you while you're working. You're putting in that time.
Beauty.
Trying to make a couple bucks, buddy. Yeah, you're a gem, man. Appreciate you listening.
We love you.
We love you, bud. Also, shout out Corey Webster. He said, we improve his commute to work. He said he drives 3 hours each way, but he didn't say what he does. What do you think he's doing if he's driving 3 hours back and forth?
It's a lot of hours. I feel like initially it just felt illegal. Like he's just, transporting some illegal goods. 3 hours each way, drops back. But we're playing in the podcast. Maybe we're helping commit crimes. Not only do we help people survive their day, we help people, commit some crime.
Another side note, too, is that if he's going for 3 hours there or 3 hours back, he's got to burn through episodes 1 through 3 there, 4 through 6 on the way back. So the podcast can't be the only thing he's listened to during his commute.
No.
But I think he's a roofer. I think he might be doing, roofing or, shingling or, siding.
He's a podcast whore, then.
Yeah. He's got
he's got a few podcasts on that trip, that commute, for sure. But hey, we appreciate you listening to our podcast. Whatever it is that you're doing, we appreciate you listening on the way.
I can see Webs. Webs, I hope you don't mind if I call you Webs there, buddy, but I can picture you just on the roof, tarps off with the air nailer gun, and just laying, brick to pavement on the roof, just putting the shingles up and stuff. I don't know if you're a roofer, buddy, but shout out to you. We also have a viewer question of the week. Trav, who is your favorite Shea brother? I've met the Shea brothers, the Shea family, minus Ma, Pa, and Brandon. I've met two of them. They want to know, who's my favorite Shea brother?
Wait, you did briefly meet Brandon over Skype, though.
Okay, so we're 3 for 5. Haven't met Ma, haven't met Pa. Heard Mom lays down a great meal. Heard that today.
She does.
You have a sister, too, don't you?
I do, but that's not part of the question, though. Brother, okay. Shea brother. But I do have a sister, yes.
Yes, so I'm 3 for 6 in the family. I'm gonna go with Neil. He's quiet. He's very selective. He strikes at the right times, and I won't forget the amount of pucks I was pulling out my net that day with that lethal wrister down at the Mark. What's the ring called? Mark something in Boston.
Bavis.
Mark Bavis. R.I.P. 9/11, September 11, 2001. R.I.P. Buddy. A couple other housekeeping notes before we get into things. Converting people on Reel. Shout out to Kyle. People have just been absolutely laying the boots to me on social media for the hot takes on Instagram Reels. So a lot of people have been messaging them after they just absolutely take a dump on me in the comment section. I say, hey, have you listened to the podcast yet? Kyle said he was going to give her a listen. Hope you're listening, buddy. IG tactic of fishing, getting a bite. Yes.
You want to talk about that? I wanted to give you shit for it because I keep getting tagged in your bait, but who's the recent one you just did today?
Nedeljkovic.
Alex, right? So it's not, it doesn't work the same way when they're not, when you're more popular than them. You know?
When I'm more popular than them?
Yeah. You see, you're more popular than this guy.
I got more followers than Nedeljkovic.
Yeah, he's got 10,000 followers. You did it. You've done this a couple of times. Like one guy had like 4,000 followers. Like no. You big dog and swinging dick on him. Like you gotta, for like a celebrity, pretend like you know them. For this guy, I don't know. I don't think it's gonna work as well. He might just be like, "Who is this guy who has way more followers than me, asking me to grab a bite?" Because in a way, he's probably looking up to you. Like, oh, this guy's like a big YouTuber.
So if you're just joining us, episode 17 here, and you're not out to swing with things, basically in a nutshell, I've been leaving comments since episode 1 on popular NHL players or celebrities posts saying, hey, miss you, buddy, hope you're doing well, let's grab a bite, let's catch up sometime. It's worked probably about three times, three for about 164. I tried on Alex Nedeljkovic today, guy's got 10,000 followers, I have 30 on Instagram. Would think that it would be, you know, doing the trick, but clearly not. But that's okay. We're going to let bygones be bygones and keep on moving on and hope things are going to work. Although, when I did it to Carey Price on his Instagram post, I had the most likes in that post. Nobody has more likes in the comment section than me. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, he sees you. He sees
apparently his 100%. Wife takes care of all of his social media.
You think?
Yeah, she's not into hockey, though. She doesn't like hockey, she said, apparently. I don't know.
Doesn't check out.
Final housekeeping note of the week. Roberto Luongo was the feature for last week. I messaged him on Twitter. I said after the podcast, after we finished recording, I was going to send him a message. I sent him a message, and he said, thanks, buddy. Hope you're doing well, after he iced me for the last, like, 4 years. I'm actually allergic to podcast. I'm, you know, like how some people are allergic to, like, peanuts or, you know, like...
Like me.
Or cologne. Roberto Luongo was allergic to podcasts. Yeah, cats as well. He said, nope, can't do it. I'm allergic to podcasts, buddy. How you doing? And I never got a reply after that. So
that's what he said. I'm allergic to them.
Yeah, he said he doesn't do podcasts. We're trying to do a father-son episode with Jeremy Broder and his dad, Marty Broder. Apparently, Marty Broder will not even go on Chiclets, but I said, you know, I don't want to grill him for an hour on his career. I just want to have like a nice father-son talk between, you know, Jeremy, Marty, me, and you.
You want to talk tacos?
Yeah, we want to talk father-son stuff. I don't know if it's going to happen, but it's an idea. Do you have an ideal guest? I don't know if people...
Slinging the pig skin a little bit. Tossing the skin around a little. Hey, Marty, you know?
You know, I don't know if people have a preference. Like, there's some podcasts I listen to, like Sean Avery's No Gruffs Given, where like I would much rather prefer he just went by himself for 45 minutes. I'm not a big fan of the guests. I'm curious how people feel about our podcast. Would you rather us go by ourselves, solo, to sling it for 45 to an hour? Or do you like the guests? Is it nice? Because we got Jonas Enroth coming on next week and Zach Fucali the week after. So, I don't like, how do you feel about it, Pat?
I think it's good to mix. I don't think it's good when it's only guest oriented. I don't like it as much. Like there are a lot of times, well, I guess like Joe Rogan's is long enough where you hear him. But my favorite like Joe Rogan podcasts are when it's him, Brendan Schaub, Brian Callen, and the other dude. I forget his name there. I'm drawing a blank. When they do their fight companions, and the four of them just shoot the shit. It's not an interview. It's just four funny guys shooting the shit. I like that. Like the interviews are cool because if you have a cool guest on, it's cool to get to know them too. But that's why I think there's like a good mix. Like you can't just do interviews.
It's like, we'll talk about the YouTube side of things in a second, but I feel like your personality has to stand on its own two legs. Like if we're standing on the legs of Marty Broder, on the legs of Brett Hall, of all these guys coming on the podcast, when they're gone, you have nothing to stand on, right? Like, if you're a YouTuber, you can't have the whole cast around you. You have to support yourself. So I think that's how I feel kind of about that. But speaking of not being able to stand on your own two legs, let's make it into a way for the topics of the week. Player brands, making money off your stuff, Cascasuo charging $150 for a podcast interview. Whoops, did I say his name? Shit. Hurdy's charging $150 for an interview for a podcast, all these different appearances and whatnot. Told us when we had him on the podcast, hey, I'm not going to charge you guys, you know, helping with the community or whatnot. Not trying to start a beef, just presenting the facts with you here. And Pat and I were talking, we were thinking about this, and we're thinking, you know, why is he charging $150? You know, like is he that hungry for money? Is he trying to exploit something? We're trying to figure the reasoning. And the only thing that I could think of myself, and correct me if I'm wrong, Pat, is that as an NHL player, you have a shelf life, right? Your career has a shelf life. Maybe it's already over for him. I don't know. He's going to the Swedish Elite League next year. Maybe he doesn't play in the NHL again. Maybe he does. That's his goals. But when the ride's all done, what do you have to stand on? the money you make over your career, maybe he buries, you know, $2-3 million top to bottom by the time he's all said done. And the money off YouTube is going to be retirement or savings money he's trying to get. Maybe he's trying to put some bucks aside to relax and enjoy life. I don't know. What do you think? You think there's anything else behind it?
No, I would like to think it's not a selfish, like, mindset that he's doing, like, oh, I'm just going to scum some money. I think the way to look at it, too, like you just said, it's a hockey only goes for so long. So he played his time in the NHL. Like you said, maybe he goes back, maybe he doesn't, but that could be the last time he plays in the NHL. He made some good money this past year, probably. I don't know his contract exactly, but he definitely made good money playing. So then you got to look at it. Maybe he's like, okay, for everything social media wise, I take this money and it's what I use to maybe he buys groceries. Maybe that 150 podcast he uses to buy his family's groceries that week. Then he's saving his NHL money for after he's done playing, which is a smart way to do it. I know in a way it's like, okay, he's going on like this podcast and it's like almost like a little like iffy to be like, yeah, all right, yeah, but I charge 150. Like personally, I haven't thought to do that, but maybe it's not a terrible idea. You know, maybe he's chilling. But I don't know. I don't know how I.
You know, maybe the Rob Gronkowski approach of I'm going to spend my sponsorship money and my playing career money. I ain't going to touch till I'm done and live off it. Let the savings, you know, the interest come up. And I don't. I hope this doesn't come across as us, you know, taking a dump on him or, you know, shitting on him. Just constructively thinking about, like, why are you charging $150 for a podcast appearance? As, you know, yeah, you know, you're an NHL taxi squad goalie. You're playing over the Swedish Elite League. You got a YouTube channel. You got a little bit of a following, whatever. You know, you've had a cup of coffee on YouTube, but you're charging $150 for a podcast appearance when, and I think it comes down to helping people. You know, I make videos because I want to help people. Like today I was working on a video on how to shave down your sticks like Sergey Borovsky. So I want to help you save money, learn how to do that, and help you. Pat's making videos on what an NCAA D1 player eats over the course of a week. Let me help you make informed nutrition decisions. I don't know where Kazmir falls in line with that, with helping people, especially if you're charging $150 to kids, to kid that's like 13 years old, 15 years old, and you want $150. Yeah, your time's valuable, but guess what? My time's valuable. Pat's time's valuable. Like our time's everybody has problems, and time is valuable.
Yeah, I don't. It's tricky, I guess. At the same time, it's like, yeah, you want to. Like for me, it's like I genuinely do like helping people, and I love making videos. I love entertaining. But then it's at the same time, you're like, okay, but I do have to find ways to profit off it. But I think the way to sometimes do it is like that you offer so much free that then like the payment comes because you get such a loyal fan base because of all the information you're offering. Then they might even, like if you do an exclusive content, they might go pay $5 a month to see your exclusive content because they know how much free help you're giving. But it's a tricky thing because like I too am always looking for how can I find different ways to profit off of what I'm doing, because at the end of the day it's we do, if we want to do it for a living, we do have to make money with it. But I think there's better ways than charging kids for podcasts. Personally, I didn't know that was actually a thing before. Like Do the NHL players charge like spit and chicklets? Do they pay them? I'm not sure how that works.
I'm curious. I know they have like the NHL, like with the exception of Caden Primo. I don't know why he came on our podcast before getting like the guy just comes on the podcast like, oh, I forgot to get NHL consent from the Canadians. Hope you guys don't mind. We're going to have to get that approved or whatever. But the NHL teams approve that stuff. I'm curious if... Now, let me ask you this question. Do you feel the responsibility comes back into your hands of... So if you want to keep doing this for a living, if you want to make money off this... Is the responsibility not in your hands to find a way to make money off it? It's not like if you're watching, if Pat Shea is watching my videos, it's not my job to say, hey, Pat, you mind giving me $150? I want some money. No, it's my job to find a way to make money. It's not your problem. You know, like I've made mistakes in the past. Pat's made mistakes in the past. You know, all that kind of stuff. I think I made a GoFundMe like 4 or 5 years ago for, you know, some new pads for college when I couldn't afford it. People shit on me for that. Justifiably so. But I don't know, like especially when you're making $750,000 on an NHL taxi squad contract, because he's a taxi squad, he's on the NHL roster, so he's getting $750,000 US. You know, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe we're in the wrong. Maybe we just don't understand. Maybe he could reply to one of my texts and come on the podcast. There's an idea.
To each their own. I'm not, you know, hating on it. I just personally don't do that. I didn't, and I haven't thought to. But like I said, I'm always also looking for different ways to make money. But it's, I guess it's a tricky line. Like, you don't want to feel like a scum, but if your fans are willing to buy your stuff or, you know, pay to see more of you, I think it's a little different than just charging them for stuff like a podcast or a cameo or something. But hey, to each their own, right? I don't know. Maybe if I'm bigger and I get on Cameo, I have the opportunity to get Cameo, then I'll think differently about it. Maybe I'll do it.
You know what? Cameo's not such a bad idea.
I'll be full slanging the biscuit out on Cameo. You're going to be like, Pat, what the fuck? Like, dude, the money's great.
Pat, you make me look bad now. Come on.
I'm going to be on my bio and everything. Like, what's your... I'm going to meet someone at a bar. Hey, so what do you do for work? Cameo, you know, other stuff. Cameo athlete.
That is one thing I will say in, you know, Casimir's defense is when the money's on the table and somebody's willing to put it in your hands,
yeah, right?
Things do change. You know, you and I can sit here and say, stop being a sellout, stop trying to milk it for money. When the money's on the table, things change very quickly. So
100%.
As we transition topics, Conor McGregor, is he done? You watched the fight, obviously. You paid for the pay-per-view. You were there.
Yeah,
what am I talking about?
I was sadly watching when he snapped his leg. He doesn't seem to be done the way he's talking, but it's going to be at least like a good year. His recovery, like before he's like back fighting, is going to be like a good year, which sucks. Too, because it's more time off that he already had. I don't know, dude. Part of me doesn't care if he does retire, because I'm like, he's already such a legend. And if he keeps, I don't know, if he takes more time off, he's going to be worse. He's going to lose more. And it's just going to tarnish the legend and skill that he was. But also the part of me who's the diehard fan wants to see him keep fighting. I guess only time will tell. I think he wants to fight still, for whatever reason.
I'm not going to throw the loss on him. You know, like, you know, maybe the fight wasn't going the way that he would like to in the first round, but the guy broke his ankle. You never know what could happen. Like, the Nate Diaz fight,
right?
Just fed Nate Diaz his lunch and pummeled him for the whole fight, and all of a sudden he lands one punch, bops him on the nose, shakes him a little bit, he's wobbling, puts him in a rear naked choke, and the contest is over when McGregor probably should have won. So you never know.
A good comparison is, so you got, I, for some reason, the judges gave it 10, two of the judges gave that round a 10-8, which is absurd, which they're saying that like Dustin absolutely dominated him. Like, McGregor was winning the first half of the round. He was outstriking him on the feet. Then he stupidly went to the ground. I think the judges scored it as when he broke his ankle and fell, the judges thought that he got knocked down. Like, the commentators actually were like, oh, I think he hurt him, like, dropped him. And then they were like, no, wait, his ankle snapped. Like, so I think they judged it like that. But a good comparison, do you remember when he fought Chad Mendez at 145? Guy wrestle-fucked him for two rounds. He got up and knocked him out.
And in the last seconds of the fifth round,
And Dustin isn't necessarily, like, Dustin wasn't necessarily going to go wrestle him in the second round. Like, it probably would have been a good striking round. So anything could have happened. Like, McGregor very well could have won the fight if his ankle didn't snap. So it's shitty, because then they're going to have to do it again at some point, because that can't be the end of their trilogy. It's not a fair ending.
That's a terrible ending too.
Right? Yeah, it's not a fair ending. So we'll see. I hope to see it again. If he decides to retire, he's got all the money in the world. So do your thing. I would not fight anyone if I had that much money.
You know what? I love the comment section says, you know, it might be time to give Jake Paul a call. But I think that one of the better quotes that McGregor had was, shut up, you bum. My socks are worth more than your entire outfit.
Did he say that? Who did he say that to?
Diaz. Socks are worth more than your entire outfit, you bum. Shut up, you bum. Shut your mouth.
He has some iconic lines.
Oh. Just some of the one line, just his ability to think on your feet. I will say some of the one liners against Poirier this go round weren't maybe as good. The your wife's your husband kind of.
Well, yeah, but it's tougher too, because part of a one-liner witty answer is the response or the question asked. The fucking questions being asked at the press conference sucked. Like, they were just so weird. And, like, you can only do so much with what people are asking. I thought the shit was funny when he was like, your wife's husband. Like, it doesn't make any sense, but it's funny as fuck.
Especially in the Irish accent, eh?
Yeah, speaking, your wife's husband.
Speaking of things.
The Irish.
Have you been following the Vasilevskiy chest protector scandal at all? About it being illegal or no?
No, I saw that in the notes, actually. What's going on there?
Yeah, a lot of people are up in arms. And here's the deal, basically. So, Andrei Vasilevskiy, and I've mentioned this in my vlogs for months before the cup final, even the playoffs, that he wears his chest protector in a way that makes it appear very large. So, you probably don't understand what that means. And if you're not a goalie, you're listening. Let me explain it to you. So, the tighter you strap your body, the more the chest protector kind of pushes out, right? Almost like a fanny pack or like when you have a gut, right? So he wears it very loose around there. I found it helps a lot with pushing the chest protector out, kind of poofing it up, making it look a little bit more puffy. Also, when you wear the straps on the arms a certain way, it also makes everything kind of like rotate outwards. Like it flares the wings out, it flares the arms out. So he's using a bunch of these tricks with the NHL, you know, legal stuff to make himself appear larger, right? If you don't wear suspenders, you're going to look larger. If you have an internal belt in your pants, although it's illegal, you'll look bigger. Compared to Carey Price, who wears it as tight as he can, he wears suspenders, he does all these things that make him look very small, although him and Vasilevskiy are the same size, 6'3 and 6'4, people are up in arms saying, you know, Vasilevskiy's using illegal equipment. I guarantee you they're checking before every game to make sure stuff's legal. This isn't someone that's just going to, all of a sudden, he's going to pull out a chest protector out of nowhere and, you know, win the cup. Maybe he is. I don't know. But, yeah.
That's the equivalent of saying Tyson Fury had, like, shit in his gloves, you know, in the fight. I don't know, dude. I think it's all just conspiracy and people that are bitter about Tampa winning the cup. And they're like, oh, you know, he's got shit in his chest protector. He's fucking, I don't know. It's a bunch of baloney. But hey, again, maybe he is. Maybe he is fucking. Maybe he's just a complete scumbag and he's fucking wearing too big of chest protectors. I doubt it, but what do you think? Do you think it's true or?
No, it's 100% not true. I've been experimenting around with my chest protector the last couple months to try to get that same effect. I personally think that I found it. Because my new chest protector that I got about a month ago is the exact same size as my old one, with the exception of I'm wearing the new one the way that Andrei Vasilevskiy wears it, and it looks massive. Like, I got a bunch of comments in the video that I put up today. People are like, are you wearing a muscle suit under that? Like, what are you doing? Like, this thing looks huge. It's all on how you wear it. Yeah, they're saying, like, there's nothing to shoot at. Like, I look like a tank. And I feel like it because I've strapped it differently.
Does it have an effect in your saves? Like, you're making more saves?
No, I don't think so. I feel bigger. Like, I feel larger. I don't notice any difference personally because I've been wearing it this way for a while. And I'm also the kind of guy where I try something. If I want to like it, I'm going to like it almost no matter what. But one thing that I found interesting as well is the salary cap argument. People are like, oh, you know, they cheated the system, the salary cap. There's nothing in the rule book against it. They're just able to outsmart everybody else. And also,
they did
luck
not break
timing.
The rules.
Yeah, like, you don't plan, okay, well, Kucherov's going to get hip surgery because he's got labrum issues. This guy's going to get, you know, it's all timing, and you play within the rules, and there's nothing against the rules that says it, you know? But salary cap and equipment sizing don't count in the playoffs.
So, yeah, maybe, right?
Yeah.
I think there's always going to be something, like, with the winning team. It's always going to be the winning fighter, the winning anything. You know, it's always going to be some excuses from the loser. Or the fans of the loser, or fans of people that weren't rooting for them. The salary cap, technically speaking, they broke no rules. Maybe they warped their way around it with knowing they were doing that. Because there is theory as far as, like, that Kucherov never even had the surgery. People are that deep into it that they're like, yeah, he never had hip surgery. He was just practicing. He was skating. Just purposely staying out until playoffs. That's a fucking heavy commitment to a scumbag move if that's true. Then the more common theory is that he had the surgery, could have came back. He was ready for a good month, 2 months, but they purposely said, no, what Stamkos do? Wait till playoffs to come back so the salary cap doesn't add up. It's a very believable thing. They may have very well have done that, but they're on the IR. It's not illegal. It's not against the rules, you know, whether it was planned out or not.
It's innovating. I personally think that wearing the chest protector a different way, playing within the rules, you know, the salary cap, you're innovating. Speaking of innovating, the best in the game, manscaped.com. Listen to me here, people, okay? Gabe Cameron, great guy. Last week, he took care of his bush, right? This guy was kind of Amish, you know, borderline, hadn't shaved in a while. He's seen a light of day, and he's feeling fresh. You hear that? Listen to my microphone here for a sec. That.
Yep, and it lights up that? In the dark. You can shave in the dark. If you live outside, you can shave in the dark. I'm about to go use that after this podcast right now because I need a shave.
Yes, and why do you need to shave?
Because if you want to look good for the ladies in the bedroom, they don't like hair. You know, they don't want a hairy lower section down there. They don't want that surprise. You know. Someone just walked in. It's Neil. We're doing Manscaped ad. I'm talking about bushes. Good thing it's...
You want to know why Neil just walked in? Here's a couple things I'm going to tell you here, okay? You shave the grass. You know, you mow the grass. The tree's going to look a little bit bigger. The house is going to look a little bit bigger. Also, maybe...
I thought you were going to... Hold on. I thought you were going to rhyme here. If you shave the grass, you'll get more ass.
Oh. Yeah, no, yeah. I didn't think this ad that far out in advance. But here's another thing for you, I'll tell you. Okay, maybe you live an asexual lifestyle. You know, maybe female genitalia is up there with, you know, leprechauns and pots of gold and, you know, the end of the rainbow. That's okay. Guess what? When you got body hair, you got hair in your pits, it stinks. It attracts, you know, nasty smells. Your chest hair, same. You know, maybe you're eating a bag of popcorn and, you know, you look like a gorilla from the chest up. You drop that popcorn, gets stuck in there. You get a lawnmower. Now you don't got to worry about that. You hear that? That's the sound of popcorn rolling off your chest on the floor. The cat's going to eat it.
Yeah. It's very smooth, makes the experience better for everyone. I don't know what more you can really ask for.
20% off. We're not just going to stop there. We're going to get 20% off. We're going to get you free shipping. Free shipping. You don't pay for it. Even international, you don't pay for
that
shipping.
Tell me more.
And two free gifts, people. I'm not kidding. This is the gift that keeps on giving. This holiday season, this summer, you know, you're vaxxed, you're waxed, whatever you are, hot girl summer, this is the key. This is the ticket to the chocolate factory. You want to look good? You want to impress your ladies? You want to keep her coming back for more? How does this sound? No razor burn. You save 20% off. That's a lot of change. And you're going to go to manscaped.com and use the promo code BISKIT. BIZKIT. Limp Biscuit. You're going to get that exclusive 20% off through us. You're going to get the besticles for your chesticles, the best a man can get. Gillette, I don't care if you're suing me after this because Manscaped is better. Get the Lawnmower 4.0. Support us because if you don't, we're going under.
Fuck yeah. I'm getting one. I'm going to use the code right now.
You have one. You're going
to
get two.
Yes. Yes. I need a second one. I need to two-hand it. It's going to be great. One for the balls, one for the dick.
You can do them at the same time too if you're that coordinated. But it's also the best beard trim in the world. You got a beard like me, you know, maybe you got a little chest hair, you want to trim it up and not go totally down to the grain, that's fine. The Lawnmower, best in class. Thanks to Manscaped for sponsoring this episode of the podcast. Big please shout. Keep paying us. But Dom, please you. Keep paying us. We need your money. Thank you.
We love you, Manscaped.
We do. Moving on here. What do you want to accomplish long term at YouTube outside of shaving your bush? What's your goal at YouTube? Like over the next year, 2 years, you've been on YouTube for 2 or 3 years now pumping out videos. You got 20,000 subscribers. What do you want to do? What do you want to accomplish? Pat Shea, go.
I want to grow a bigger following for my skits and sketches area. I would like to continue growing the brand in the hockey, you know, world when I start vlogging again and whatnot. I think just... I want to get a big enough loyal following so when after hockey, I can continue doing this for a job, for a living. Because I want, at the end of the day, all I care about is doing stuff that I enjoy for a job. I don't want a real job. You know, actually recently I was talking with my friend and he's like talking about like fame and stuff, like how we got to make it. Like for me, my motivation's never, I don't know about you, but my motivation's never been like to be famous. It's like if I do what I enjoy doing and fame has to come with that, for in order to do it, I accept it. But it's never been the motivation. Genuinely just want to be able to do what I enjoy doing for a living. That's where I want to take it. So maybe that's a cheesy answer or whatever, but that's me. Yeah. What about you?
Honestly, like, I just want to help people. I want to enlighten people to the realities of hockey, and if I can, you know, grow and get 100 subscribers or 100,000 subscribers and, you know, make some money off it, that's great. But I more than anything, I want to help people understand the world around them. Like, hockey world sucks. Life sucks. But guess what? You know, let me help you. Let me shed my firsthand experiences and try to tell you that playing professional hockey sucks. Playing college hockey sometimes also sucks. Like your brother, three different schools. Why? Because the system sucks sometimes. Like, it's just the way that it is.
Just two different schools for the kid.
Well, committed, decommitted.
Oh, and then, well, yeah, he did choose to decommit. So I guess technically, yeah, he's been committed to three schools now.
Did it to
what
himself.
What a whore. Wow.
His milkshake brings all the boys to the yard.
Seriously.
And they're like, it's better than yours. I might have to teach you, but I'll have to charge.
Oh, yes, you do.
But, you know, and I think, too, knowledge, like just about, let me teach you how to use sticks properly. Let me show you how to, like, size your pads. Like, just little stuff like that. Like, I enjoy, like, when people send me messages and are like, I need help with how to, you know, lace my glove, how to break in my glove, how to, you know, it's a humbling feeling that somebody who's a stranger on the internet watched the video, said, you know what, I think this guy's credible, please help me. And they're trusting me. They're putting, you know, their good faith in my hands to help them. And it's a good feeling. It really is. I mean, paying rent on time, too, is nice when you're not 2 months behind. But
it helps, you know. Guy, you know, sometimes there's motivation to get out of mom's basement.
Yes. And, well, you know, the reason I bring this up is our boy Michael Downey, Downs and I were having a really good chat over the weekend just about, you know, YouTubers and the algorithm and cracking and whatnot. I've noticed, you know, the last 2-3 weeks, I texted Pat about this the other day, that I found, you know, the hockey algorithm starting to pick up a little bit. Things are starting to speed up, you know, and my Instagram's growing, my YouTube's growing. It's that time of year again, which is great. It's not the graveyard season where you're like, I might not be able to afford that box of Kraft dinner, got a penny pinch, you know. And
You could be right.
I think there's a YouTuber by the name of Glenn Gillen. I was trying to get him on the podcast this week. Him and I were having a good talk the other day, and he kind of big leagued me a little bit. Just talking about how like, if he's going to come on the podcast, you know, he's got to have some value. You know, he's not going to come on to, you know, spend an hour of his time just to talk to a couple of YouTube guys. It's like, you know, we're a part of the community. We want to grow together. We want to expand some ideas. Maybe I give you some good ideas. You give me some ideas. And everybody benefits, because we don't get this opportunity. It's not like the Colgate headquarters where everybody's coming in and talking about the latest and greatest toothpaste whitening ingredients. You know, like, you're on your own most of the time. And I think, like, in business, if you don't adapt with the times, you fall behind, you fall off, and things don't work. And I've seen a lot of that, not just from Glenn, but like a lot of YouTubers, myself included. You got to innovate, because the old formula gets stale and nobody wants to watch it. Nobody wants to pay attention anymore, because you're old news. They don't owe you their time, you know?
Yeah. No, it's true. It's a tough game. I mean, I'm a little does Glenn have beef? Like, he's like, oh, I don't want to just go on and talk to a couple of YouTubers. Like, what the fuck's his problem?
I think he didn't realize that, like, him and I have the exact same amount of subscribers. Like, Glenn Gillen is a fitness guy. He does a fitness channel. I didn't
even look at his shit. Let me go check his shit. What's his name? By the way, you, like, fucking hacked in that chest protector. I just checked. But Glenn
Glenn Gillen. Thanks, Pat. I look big, yeah. In the chesty?
Yeah, you look jacked.
Although I'm not.
Oh, he's shredded, huh?
Well, he's gone on some shreds, and although he's a fitness guy, I like the videos. I like what he's doing, but what he's doing is getting stale, and I wanted to, you know, talk to him about that and kind of, you know, brainstorm some ideas, you know, throw some ideas back and forth, and he just big-dogged me. Meanwhile, I don't think he realized that him and I have the same subscriber count. We have very similar numbers we put up.
Similar. Yeah, he's got 90,000 subs. I mean, it seems like, pretty similar, if not you're a little more on views on average. He's not dead. He puts up still a solid amount of views, but you said he was getting like 100,000 every video.
Yeah, well, very close to what, a year ago. And it's interesting how like the audience will taper off. Like even for me in Sweden, I could sit on the couch, put my thumb up my ass, and I'd, you know, rack up 50,000-40,000 views every time. You know,
right.
the content changed. It's not in Sweden. It's not the pro lifestyle anymore or whatever. And now, you know, I'm putting up around 15,000 to 20,000 views a video. A little slower, but things have changed and people want what they want. If you don't innovate, they're going to leave.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. Yeah, I don't know. It is picking up a little, I think, with hockey. I put that video out about reacting to my high school hockey highlights. I didn't think it would do so well.
It's doing well.
Yeah, it's at 13K in how many days? It's day number three right now.
It was at 10K last night I saw. So it picked up some steam.
Yeah, it's been having a solid day.
Yeah.
I didn't realize, well, I guess it makes sense that people would be curious of my high school highlights, but at the time I didn't think. But hey,
it worked. Doing solid. It worked.
Yeah.
Definitely. Next conversational piece that I had is a little bit of a touchy subject. It's interesting. You know, an hour or two before we recorded the podcast, this news broke. First gay player in hockey history to come out openly, come out of the closet and be gay. I wanted to talk about that because it kind of bothers me that people are making a big deal about this. Because it shouldn't matter, you know, you're white, black, gay, Chinese, straight, you're into trees, you're into chairs, like whatever you're into. Can you play the game? Can you play hockey at a high level? Okay, right. Great. So that's all that needs to, you know, that's all that needs to be answered. Like we talked about this a couple episodes ago. The CIA is trying to recruit, you know, minority individuals to work for them. Well, it doesn't matter if you're a minority. Can you do the job? Yes or no? That's all that matters. Yeah, are you going to get the job done? Whether you're gay, straight, I don't care. Just do the job. Simple as that. And you know, the NHL was posting as well about how, you know, look, Roman Josi's so accepting of it. They love it. You know, the team loves it, blah, blah, blah. I was also thinking, like, with the way the NHL is, like, who's going to speak out against that? The NHL follows that same, you know what I mean? Like, they follow that same agenda. What else are they going to say? You know what? Now that he's come out, we don't accept him. We don't want him on the team. Right. And we're going to make a big stink. We're actually going to call up management and try to get him removed. Like, they're not going to say that kind of stuff. You wouldn't.
Even if say, Josi had an issue with it, it's not like he's going to say it. Not that he should have an issue with it, but even if he did, he wouldn't say it. So, but I mean, the fact that there's one gay player is not true. You know, like I don't know if there's one on every team. I don't know how statistically speaking there is, but I don't know if there actually is just because of like the group of guys being, I don't know, whatever athlete or whatever. I don't know if it's a different statistic in athletes, but maybe it starts a trend and there's other gay players that come out because of this guy, you know? And I mean, that would be great for them. I've always said, like, I have no issue if one of my friends in my hockey team all of a sudden was like, hey, by the way, I'm gay. I'm like, oh, like, cool. Like if one of my friends said that to me, I'm not gonna be like, oh, you know what? You know, you're not my friend anymore. No, obviously you're still my boy. Like I'll still, like if I'm having a good relationship, somewhere laughing, we're making jokes, whatever, we're going out having fun, not changing, you know? And hopefully that if someone is going through that, then they would know that it's, but hey.
I think it's no different than a, you know, male female relationship. If we're just friends and you're shooting the shit, things are going well, that shouldn't affect anything. But if all of a sudden you come on to me and you're trying to make a move, okay, well that changes things. But I don't see where that would actually happen in a real life. You know, especially as a professional, you're playing hockey, you're there to do a job. You know, you're into dudes, so be it. You're more than welcome to be on my team. If you make a move, okay, maybe we have to have a sit down conversation about that. But it's more than welcome. You know what I mean?
It's also like if someone did, I wouldn't be like offended. I'd be like, oh, thank you.
Well, flattered. Like, thank you. You know? Glad you like me.
Right. But it's funny, dude. I saw some, I don't know if it's a TikTok. I forget her name or his name. I can't remember. I think she or he is a transgender. It was a guy and became a girl, I think. But celebrity saying that she, I think goes by she, hooks up with a lot of athletes and rappers, like basketball players and rappers, guys that are in the closet, and they pay her and threaten her not to say shit. And apparently this is a thing, but I think it's more common than we realize, like the amount of people like that maybe are on our team. I think it's more common than we even realize, but it's all about the interest. Like, they're hockey players. We both are athletic guys that are, you know, playing sports. We probably laugh with the same shit. It's, you know, we're alike, whether or not we, you know, the same sexual preference or whatever. So,
well, it's no different than you and I. Like, realistically speaking, if we strip it down, do we have a lot in common? Probably not. But we play hockey. We make YouTube videos. We like film. We have these common interests. You come together, right? It's no different. I think, too, I really feel bad for this guy, too, because in the NFL, guys who've come out as openly gay, they've created such a media spectacle around them everywhere they go. And now this guy, who maybe is a bubble, you know, $750,000 player, third, fourth line guy, is going to have to produce so much more because the media attention that he's going to get in Nashville or to wherever else he goes, is the juice worth the squeeze? And yeah, he's probably going to make a good amount of money off endorsements, like, you know, gay, favorable companies, and great for him. You know, he's like Casper. He's going to make a shit ton of money. Who's going to fault him on that?
Yeah, but I mean, media, he's the first. He's the face now. He's the face of the whole community.
He's
going to
make a lot of money. Yeah. But the media spectacle that's going to follow him and potentially cost him his career because a company or a team's going to say, listen, the attention we're getting, we don't want that attention. We want to be under the radar, like a team in Phoenix, Arizona, and Nashville, a little low-key, or a team in Toronto. We get a lot of attention. We don't need any more attention. That might also come into play. And that's not something that's going to make its way to the media. It's just going to happen. They're going to cut ties because they don't want the attention. Am I wrong, or is that an issue, do you think, as well, potentially?
It could be.
Maybe he's not pulling his weight.
I would hope not. I would hope he wasn't getting criticized for it, because that's a lot on someone's shoulders. Like, but I think he knows that it is going to be. He probably prepared for it in a way, in a sense. But I would hope he's not, like, not criticized if he can't pull his weight with, like, I don't know, being the face of the gay hockey community. You know, and it could end up being, who knows.
I just worry because with the way the NHL has gone media-wise in the last couple of years, like, they're firing coaches who dropped N-bombs 10, 15 years ago.
Right, you know? Right.
Like we're digging so much out of the past. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, someone comes up tomorrow where, you know, some coach said something in 1991, 1989, or whatever, and we're going to gas them today for something he did 30 years ago. Like, these people just don't forget, like a dog on a bone. And the media is just unrelenting. So, but what do we know? We're just a couple of schmucks putting up 1,000 downloads on Apple Podcasts, whatnot, every week, trying to get by, trying to make.
But on YouTube videos now too, we're getting more views on our YouTube episode recently. So yeah, we're getting big.
I don't know if that was sad or not, because this video, if you're listening on your drive to work, your commute, yeah, we're on Apple Podcasts, we're on Spotify, we're on Google Podcasts as well. But the video version is up on YouTube as well, and the video version. Literally, first video we uploaded publicly did way more views than the actual podcast. So it's nice to know the YouTube community is coming out. Whether you're listening or watching, we appreciate you. Portnoy says Jake Paul Biz fight would be pretty nasty. Pun intended. You like that?
Well, that was clever. That was clever.
Dash one. Would he get killed? Biz Paul. Who wins? I think Jake Paul would win. I think he'd smoke him.
Yeah, I think Jake Paul fucks him up. Jake Paul essentially said that without saying it, because he's like, all right, well, if someone, you take someone, I've now, Jake Paul has now been going, he's going near 4 years of, at least 3 years, probably, so he's probably getting somewhat close to 4 years of training boxing. That's, and he's an athletic guy, he knows now how to throw a punch, he's explosive, or he developed the ability to throw. He's beaten up someone who has no boxing experience. Biz was a tough NHL guy, not the toughest, but he was a tough guy, he fought, he's a big dude. Straight boxing match? No, Jake Paul kills him. Is Biz Nasty even a big enough name to draw attention for that? For Jake Paul to fight him?
Well, they're saying they're cracking 30 million, you know, pay-per-view, or was it 3 million. They're making 30 million or whatever on pay-per-view buys or whatever the number was. I don't think Biz Nasty does much about that. I think Jake Paul is driving that, Dana White talks about him almost every single day. Like, he's fielding questions about it. Like, that's not happening because you're a nobody. It's because you're making an impact and people are taking notice. I think it would be very interesting.
Biz is most popping on Twitter, but Twitter's a dying thing. So, like, on Instagram, he's not as popular. But he does have loyal followers, and obviously the Chicklets do. But in terms of Jake Paul, like, Jake Paul fighting Ben Askren was very exciting because it was a UFC fighter, even though he's not a striker. It was a fighter, so it made it very...
I think people were looking at the first opportunity for an actual loss for Jake Paul. And when he knocked him out in the first round, my woman and I were watching the fight live. And I remember he hit him once, wobbled him, and then he knocked him out. And we were like, no. No, did he really? He did it. No way. And I think this Tyron Woodley fight, I'm excited for it. But I don't know if I have the same excitement because I'm like, you know, Jake Paul will probably win. Like the way the things are going. He's looking good. He's looking sharp.
He is. Which now makes it more exciting. And more frustrating for the people wanting to see him get knocked out because he's pretty good. He's getting, he's more than pretty good. He's getting really good.
You know, so, what it really drives it home for me is when he tells Tyron Woodley, let's make a bet. If you lose, you donate all your money to charity. You cannot make a dime off this fight, and he won't do the bet. Jake's like, I'll do it. I'll donate the money. Yeah, I know he doesn't need the money, but like, if you're really as confident as you say you are, put your money where your mouth is, donate it to charity. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's also, people are saying he's on steroids. They're saying his behavior at the, they said his behavior at the press conference was like very, like effective steroid. He's getting very thick. He used to be like 190, like he's like a good 210, 215 when he's not fighting. Like he's a thick dude now. Woodley's smaller, but Woodley still throws bombs. It's so interesting, right? Because we've never seen Jake Paul really get hit. So it's like, okay, what if Woodley just goes out and whacks him once, and that's it? He doesn't like it, which is very possible because Jake actually really hasn't been hit by a 10-ounce glove, no headgear. He hasn't. Like Ben Askren hit him once with an overhand, has no power at all. If Woodley hits him with an overhand like that, it might be done. I don't know if he'll like it too much.
Let me ask you this. Are you going to buy the pay-per-view or no?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
I will pirate it like I have the last three fights.
Yeah, I love that shit, dude. I think it's so entertaining. People hate on it, but I think it's entertainment, bro. It's nothing more than it. Like, don't overthink it, you know? It's fun. It's awesome. Who cares?
You know, I'm just excited as you are. But I'm trying to put away money for my retirement, and I will not spend $50. I will put that money aside.
You know what?
And
I might go do a podcast for $200, a little 16-year-old, U16 to the show. I might charge them $200 and hop on a podcast to pay for my Jake Paul-Woodley fight.
Hey, and pay yourself back for the McGregor fight and the previous Paul fight and the fight before that. But listen, U16 to the show, whatever podcast you are, get your money ready because guess what? We drop a new episode every Thursday, 8 a.m. Eastern, Sling on the Biscuit. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Spotify. And the video version of this podcast right now is up at YouTube. If you want to go listen to it at Sling on the Biscuit on YouTube, it is linked in the video description.
You want that visual. You want to see us. You want to see us, not just hear us. Go watch us.
I will say, I got a message today. Somebody said that when you watch the podcast, Pat's facial expressions make everything make so much more sense. It clicks. It clicks. Because your reaction to some of the dumb shit that I say apparently makes it. I don't know if that's true or not, but guess what? You can find out right now. Go to YouTube, watch the whole podcast. On behalf of Pat myself, we leave you with Trouble's Coming, Royal Blood. We'll see you again next week. Thanks for watching or listening.
That's great.
There you go. Start all over again.